Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Give me the spray can.
Hey, look, I ain't doing
give me the spray can.
It's not the
give
way,
me the
man.
Spray can.
I ain't doing nothing.
Give me the spray can.
Sports Hub, it's Touch of Rich. That is the sound right there of the several people who were spray painting a storefront in Albuquerque, crapping their pants when John Jones, yes, John Jones of the UFC, walked up to them and said, "What the F are you doing? Give me those spray cans," and took it away from them. As a matter of fact, afterwards, he tweeted, "Is this blank even about George Floyd anymore? Why the F are you punk-ass teenagers destroying our cities?" He said, "As a young black man, trust me, I'm frustrated as well, but this is not the way. We are starting to make a bad situation worse. If you really got love for your city, protect your blank. All you old heads need to speak up. Call your young family members and tell them to come home tonight." And that echoes what we played the Killer Mike clip earlier. And you're seeing a lot of videos of that, and that is just awesome. And I love the fact that they're standing up for their own city and saying, "This is not what we do," and taking away those spray cans. But, I mean, first of all, dude, if you had any idea who John Jones was, like, you've seen him mangle people before. Yeah. Can you imagine?
He wants to fight Francis Ngannou. He is going to drop the title that he has to fight Francis Ngannou, who weighs more than him. UFC hasn't done it yet, but, like, that's a crazy man.
You want to talk about crapping your pants? John can attest to this. We had Francis Ngannou in studio, and they wanted us to take a picture with him. And right before the photo was taken, Ngannou takes his gigantic mitt of a hand and grabs my shoulder and lifts me up, and I almost crap myself. Like, I mean, it was terrifying.
He is an enormous individual.
He's huge, and he's, like, really kind of – he's, like, very nice and soft-spoken, and then he stands up, and that hand – it's like he's so strong that you can see the picture. Like, my right foot is off the ground.
He's being nice, but it's kind of like when Chara shakes your hand. You know, there's that threat of death that's implied anyway.
I could eat you and pass you in my
John Jones is in the media big time for not good reasons. Yeah. Like, he's being punished for some stuff that's happened off the court. I know what you're trying to go here, but other athletes have come out. Like, Michael Jordan is one of the things we saw in the documentary was – he wasn't supportive when it came to politics and things of that degree. He came out yesterday with
that's
a positive
all changed
message.
Today. Yes.
Everyone else is starting to come out now.
It's at the point. I mean, how can you not? And but that brings us to, obviously, a couple of things. First of all, there is some real NBA news, which I want to get to, and it's good news. This is great. We're about to talk about real games. We're about to talk about actual basketball, which is – God, we've all needed that. And but yesterday, before we get to that, yesterday it was great to turn on the TV and see Marcus Smart out there during the peaceful protest. What Jaylen Brown did going down to Atlanta, that's his hometown. A lot of people are saying, why Atlanta? Well, I mean, he grew up in Marietta. It's right there. My old high school used to play his high school in football. They'd kick our ass every single time. And then there was, Vincent Poirier was out there, Enes Kanter, wearing an Enes Kanter jersey, which I just think he probably never takes off in public. But it was great to see that. And that's what you want to see. And that's what I showed my son last night before he went to bed, before he saw everything get out of control. But we have on the phone with Sean Grandy, the voice of your Boston Celtics here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, a man who has to tolerate Mr. Cedric Maxwell and his sandwich references on a regular basis. But it's got to feel good covering a team that that speaks up and does good things for the community. Isn't that right, Sean?
I think in a time that we're all desperately trying to find something good, right, a time that we will all remember the rest of our lives, I think one of the good things that will certainly come out of this is that maybe we can finally put to rest after four somewhat controversial years, which Max and I never really adhered to anyway, but I think the phrase stick to sports is we can finally rest in peace to that and, you know, put that in the rearview mirror, as we've seen from John Jones to Jaylen Brown to Marcus Smart to everybody, you know, demonstrating what I think all of us that chose to spend our life in sports probably found most appealing right from the beginning, which is that from the time we first started playing when we were 4 or 5 years old, sports is fair, right? Mm-hmm. Sports is inherently fair and inherently equal and inherently about, you know, none of the external stuff that is, you know, tearing us apart right now. So I don't think there's any question. I think, you know, some of you probably saw what I tweeted when Jaylen, something we've said about Jaylen for years, which is that whatever you're going to be proud of his Celtics career and his NBA career, but Jaylen's contribution to the world is going to be much greater than his basketball by the time everything's said and done.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the NBA has always been, not always, but I mean, for the most part, has embraced people speaking out this way, where that's not the case in a lot of different leagues. I mean, we saw the cluster F with the NFL over the last several years. And so when the NFL releases a statement, you know, you immediately call BS on it. We're like, we know your history. We know your past. And where in the NBA, it seems like it's always been more of a, we trust you. And we trust your opinions and we respect them. And I think that that was something that it's been good to see over the last couple of days with all of this happening.
A really good friend of mine, David Aldridge, who is just, you know, one of the elite and a Hall of Famer at what he does and covering this league for so long, last week and writing about some of the stuff we're going to talk about with the eventual return and the momentum building towards it, that he was sort of indifferent is the wrong word, but ambivalent because of everything that was going on in the world, and that he wasn't as excited about the NBA returning. And my thought was almost the opposite, because I want to see more microphones now in front of Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and the rest of these guys. I think it's an important time for them to be visible and to speak, to play the games and do what they do, but also to have that opportunity to be visible, because I think these are a lot of the guys we need to see and hear from right now.
More specifically, though, Sean, in regards to Jaylen, I mean, he didn't just join the protest. He was a guy who organized it, and you've had hundreds and hundreds of personal conversations with him. I would assume this is not a surprise to you.
Not in the least. As I said, I sometimes hesitate to tweet things because it's Max and I have literally talked about this for years and years, the thing I just said about Jaylen, but you realize not everybody is listening all the time. And we just passed a few weeks ago, you guys may remember this, a lot of stuff got blurred out from that 18-19 season for the Celtics, but their final win was the game in Milwaukee when they blew out the Bucks in game one of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And earlier that day, that morning, Jaylen had tweeted something out, a story, which became a story for a couple of days, and we talked to him right after that game. It was the fifth anniversary of a teacher. Remember, you forget how recently he had been in high school, but 5 years before, you know, 6 years ago, Jaylen Brown was in high school, and a teacher had told him he was going to end up in jail. Mm-hmm. And 5 years from now, you're going to end up in jail. And 5 years from that day that it was said to him, he was one of the best players on the floor as the Celtics won that first round, that game one of the second round in Milwaukee. And he is just, you know, when you do this as long as Max and I have been doing it, there are guys that are just different. And Jaylen is different. And it's weird, of all the comparisons to make, I often think of Bill Bradley when I think of Jaylen Brown, because Bill Bradley was a part of those Knicks teams in the 70s, those great teams, and he was a very good player, huge player coming out of college with a bit whatever. But Bill Bradley's contribution to the world, and later became a presidential candidate and a senator, those things ended up overshadowing what was a very successful NBA career. And I always see that for Jalen, that as good as he's going to be in these next few years, this 10, 15 years in the NBA is going to be a part of his life that to me is almost going to be an asterisk compared to what he accomplishes after.
All right, Sean, I think almost of equal importance to what's going on right now is me needing to know how many old episodes of WrestleMania have you watched to fill the time over the last several weeks when there's been no basketball.
And old basketball games. I think the funniest part of this time to me has been this sort of time travel. You know, I'm talking to Max. Max is getting stopped now on the street like, hey, you were great. What a great game you played last night. And I'm like, what? It wasn't like, you know, it was 30-something years ago, dude. But we're all in this time travel, time warp, right? Of watching old things. And it's been fun. The 6 million people watched the Michael Jordan documentary because we're so starved for it, which I guess sort of brings us to the idea of, I've seen some sentiment, including from some people who it's kind of disappointed me, you know, Shaq and even Charles to some degree, people sort of, and they knew it was inevitable that people would say, oh, I don't want the season to come back, just cancel the season. And the more this time has gone by, the more you realize, and this discussion about the asterisk, right? Like, well, is there going to be an asterisk? Of course there is. It's going to be the biggest asterisk season in the history of asterisk seasons. But it beats the living heck out of the alternative. And the idea of trying to finish and seeing these guys play, this is going to be its own thing. It'll be like nothing we've ever seen before and hopefully nothing we ever see again.
Yeah.
But I think the inherent value of, and just the message it sends of trying to finish what you started, of getting back in whatever way we can, that to me is the message is more important than anything else.
Hey, Sean, hold on real quick. I just want to ask, because I saw an article on Mike Gorman yesterday, and I wanted to get your slant on it. Are you going to be at games? Are you going to go to Orlando and quarantine with the team, or are you calling the games from home?
Well, that has not been determined yet. Like many things, and we have many, many questions to answer. Remember, we're talking about starting games. We're almost as close to stopping as restarting, you know, time-wise. It seems like it's been forever, right? Because we've all been trapped in this time warp. It's been 2.5 months. We're still 2 months away from playing. That's a long time. So there are many things that have yet to be determined. Obviously, all the health stuff comes first. And while that determination is how the games are going to be broadcast, that's sort of down the road here in the next few weeks and probably a month away. I would be, given the parameters of what we're trying as a league to accomplish, I would be very surprised if we are on site.
If it doesn't make sense.
If there are no fans, if the idea is to limit the number of people, then the idea, I assume, would be to broadcast the games remotely. And is that a horrible way to do games? Yes. But does it beat the alternative of not doing them all at all? Of course it does. So we all, you know what? We're going to do what we do, and however they tell us to do it. And if, you know, Max and I are hanging out in the studio doing it that way, that's how we're going to do it. And I'm simply guessing. Like most of us, we're just guessing at everything.
All right. Right? If for some reason they said that there is a spot for you and Max, would you guys, you don't have to speak for Cedric Maxwell, but I mean, do you think that both of you would be in? This is something that more than likely you'd have to go there middle of July and potentially stay until the first week of October.
Well, you know, we serve at the pleasure of the president of the Boston Celtics. That's our job, right, to do it. It's really hard for me to fathom. I think it's possible. I think there's another scenario by which maybe the first two rounds of the playoffs are done a different way. And maybe the teams, maybe when you're talking about having four teams in Orlando instead of 22, maybe that opens it up for more live broadcasters to be there. But I think you have to prioritize. I think the question for us, the question for anybody going there is, remember, one of the things I think the Players Association, and this I think you'll read about this week, is, and this is a big pushback with baseball, remember, is the having your family around and the ability to do that. So are we going for 6 weeks and I can have my wife and my son come down, right, from time to time? So with every person you're inviting into the bubble, you're opening it up to potentially three or four more. and then you're talking about 22 teams now, or 20 teams instead of 16, this is a big – so I think there's a cutoff point. I mean, at some point you're talking about older coaches, right?
And sure. People, like, I mean, Popovich is essentially out, but, I mean, you're right. Like, I think of him. Oh, what's his name? Houston. D'Antoni. D'Antoni, I think, is one of the oldest in the league. Yeah.
And, I wouldn't worry about him.
It's like, you know, we often joke about, let's – you have Mike and Tommy and, you know, Max and myself. Three of us are over 60.
Sure.
So, yeah. you know, there's those things, all those things like that, they will fall into place. But I think broadcasting these games is going to be critically important. I think hearing the voices again, whatever voices you're used to for whatever team, I think all this stuff is really important. You're not going to find a bigger proponent for the sanctity of, you know, play-by-play and being on a high horse and the importance of it and the poetry of it than me. That being said, I don't think this is the time. I think the idea is for all of us to figure out the best way to finish this season and deliver it to the fans in whatever way possible, and then regroup for 2021 comes next. But I don't think having broadcasters on site, which is critical for the sanctity of play-by-play, should be a priority when it comes to this particular playoff at this particular time. Because we're also, the message of finishing, as I said, is really important. The message of doing the right thing, the message of social distancing, which obviously got lost in all the chaos this week, we also have to set an example that way too, as to how can we do things during the pandemic that is not just best for the health of all of us, but sending a message of how we can comply and how we can do what's best for everybody and keep everybody as safe as possible.
All right. Well, Sean Grandy, listen, nobody wants basketball more than I'm sure that you do, but I'm right behind you. The basketball is going to be ugly on the court, but it's going to be amazing to see it back out there. I think this is one of those years where some random team that nobody expected is going to make a run, just because there's going to be weird, like who knows who gets off to a hot start. It's just going to be completely random because everyone's been off and then they're back on, which kind of makes it exciting. So, I mean, once again, basketball is sloppy as it is. I'm just glad it's going to be back.
And you know what? Here's the thing, Rich. You put it this way. People are like, well, I don't know if it's going to be weird and they're going to be playing in an empty gym or whatever. If I told you that Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker are going to play against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in an empty gym somewhere, how many miles would you walk to try to get in and see it?
That part of it I'm excited about. Like, I want to be able to hear every single thing that they say.
Yeah,
like,
that's going to be interesting, yeah.
This is a chance, really, to mic everybody up and hear some things you haven't heard before.
That's basically what it is. Everybody's mic'd.
I'll take it. Just no fake crowd noise like they're talking about possibly doing. I don't want any of that. I want to hear every single insult. Just someone's wrist is going to get sore on the dump button, I'm sure, on the broadcast. So that should be fun. All right. Well, Sean, good talking to you. Thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys.
All right. We'll see you again soon. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray in studio. How you doing this morning, Joe?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm hanging out with Wallach. I haven't seen him in car wreck.
Yeah.
How long have you been out from the studio?
Almost exactly 8 weeks, right, Dan? I think it's exactly 8 weeks. 8 weeks today.
Dan,
yeah.
If you wouldn't mind hopping on the way, how annoying was it to have Wallach back?
To have him back?
Yeah.
Well, I know that there was emotional things going on at 6 o'clock, but the chaos that ensued right at 6 a.m. this morning, John's headphones
shorted out
on him.
Yeah.
Literally when we were playing the bed music, and all of a sudden he like throws it into queue and yells into the control room, my headphone just went out, go downstairs, give me a... And I just looked at him like, go F yourself, okay? Yeah. Because
basically.
Like, and then, you know, Nick came to the rescue and, you know, and found an extra pair of headphones. But John, to be honest with you, not that I'm carrying an extra pair of headphones either, because I think that's frowned upon right now.
Yes.
But it was just so funny about how literally at 6 o'clock, he was looking for, and Rich, the other thing that you have to have, especially when you come back as well, is your own designated, what's called a windscreen over the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're so you
your
don't,
mic
you know,
yep.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone has their own, and you have to write your name on it and all that stuff. So John had to go and secure one of those prior to the show. So
yeah.
There was good stuff, but it's good to have him back.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Really? I keep thinking about like, you know, you, Dan, and Mike and Nick. You know, first of all, there's nobody that deserves vacations more than these guys because, right. I mean, they've been, you know, coming there every single day. And it's, you know, it's one of those things I can only imagine as people start coming back in, you guys have set up these routines to keep everybody
spaced.
Today
is that day, Rich. Today is that day.
Today's the day where it gets ruptured. Like, yeah. Where you've set up your routines. You know, you've kept everything, you know, like between the producers of the show behind you, that everything is clean and it's here and everyone knows their place and how to do this right. It's taken 2.5 months to get this right. And now here comes like Wallach, skimmy dee dee dee, you know, singing the curly shuffle, you know, walking on in there. Like, I
brought my own mask. I'm good. Come on now.
Jonathan's been very good. Joe has been very good. Yes, we've all been very good here this morning.
Sure, everything's fine.
As you can see on Twitch.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, our job is to get out of their way, Rich. Seriously.
I forgot to turn my head when I coughed. Hey, you got any of that hand sanitizer? Let me just wipe it on your console right here.
He's high-fiving everybody when he comes in.
Hey, Mo. Is there like a dance or a ballet when it comes to the bathroom? Because that, to me, would be the weirdest part about coming back. It's like,
up until this point,
right?
There hasn't been because of so few people here in the building. I think that dance begins today as part of the new protocols. I think it's two per restroom.
Yes.
Especially on this floor. I don't know what the downstairs, but two people. So
yeah, the one time I got up during the show.
You know when you go in, I guess, you know.
Okay. Not doing the curly shuffle. Hey Mo.
So there's no like a notch you put on something so someone knows that there's two people in there.
What, like a baseball cap? What are we talking about?
Because if two people are in there crushing it and then the urinal open, I'm gonna go.
Well, you may get admonished if you do. You, Rich, should read the protocols that were sent out via email.
I know. I kind of read them. It's going to be a year until I come back.
It's not good
anyway.
Enough, Rich.
Listen, I'm never coming back anyway, so let's just be honest.
My money's on that.
You know, we were discussing the over-under today with Joe. We're going to set a line.
I told you, it's out of my hands. I'm leaving it up to Mary's doctor.
I'm sure it is.
I swear to you, it is. If I lied about something like that, I'd be the biggest a-hole in the history of
2021? When's the end of his contract?
Jesus. 2021.
You said 21 next year? Yeah. Who knows? Listen, there'll be a vaccine hopefully by then. And then everyone will have to take it before I think I come back. And it'll be fine. But there's going to be difficult people who probably wouldn't want to take it. And then I'd look at all your social media to make sure you weren't out doing shenanigans, because then that would just make me really nervous. So I don't come back for that.
You think he's kidding? That's not true. He is not kidding. All of that's true.
Speaking of social media, there's something that we need to pop up there a little bit later on, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if, do you have... I know you sent them to me. Did you want me to put them up, or do you?
I'll put them up. But I mean, I figured it'd be good for the show, so I didn't put them up last night.
Yeah, maybe we should do it tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow? Okay.
However you want
to
do it.
We'll hold on to it.
Okay.
Big tease, you know.
All right.
Listen to Joe Murray teaching us how to do radio.
All right, listen, I'm just sitting
Joe
here.
Murray.
Man gets a podcast. It gets, Jesus. You know.
I only did the podcast because I couldn't talk to myself anymore. So I. And we're still in quarantine, so it's
he's
still
doing a great job. Noon every day.
Yeah. Why have you not had Bird on your podcast? Why have you not had Bird on your podcast?
Well, we're having him on.
When?
Either this weekend or next week. But I wanted him to pump out his podcast first.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so we could, you know, that's
anywho.
So he can discuss his new podcast. Okay, see if he actually tweeted it out, because he sent it to me and I wanted to retweet it so people could hear it. But listen, of course, I went through and I couldn't have been more excited that Bird came out with a new podcast. And I love it too. As we played like last hour, you know, there's no music, there's no garnish. I love it. Just straight to the point. Yeah.
Just the beginning of the podcast alone is worth listening to.
But the best thing about it is that all the great things that made the Dude and Bird podcast so fantastic, you know, those elements are back, except for, of course, Dude, which was a huge element. He's now a professor, which is the greatest.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, he's got the
Bird.
The slew banger this week. I know that.
He does. He's got a not only the slew banger, but he's got the bird cage.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Let's play clip number three there, Dan.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bird.
I know you're Bird. You're very depressed. All right. This is from Bird's first solo podcast called Anywho with Bird.
I have two going in the bird cage this week.
Ooh.
coronavirus, which I won't get into. Everyone knows what's going on with that. Birdcage for life. This whole situation just sucks. The second,
Stop it. Take that coronavirus.
That's right. The first thing you want to do is mention something that you're not going to discuss on a podcast. That's rule number one. When you put your podcast together, make sure you bring up a subject that you're not going to talk about.
Birdcage for life.
Perfect. It's a great way to kill time and extend things out.
I want a shirt that says that coronavirus. Birdcage for life.
Birdcage for life.
We're not talking. In the back, we're not talking
about that.
Coronavirus, which I won't get into. Everyone knows what's going on with that. Birdcage for life.
That's it.
Okay. All right. So he's got something else he's going to put in the birdcage. What could be worse than the coronavirus?
This whole situation just sucks. The second group of people going into the birdcage is the Point of Pines people. That's right. Point of Pines people. People in this neighborhood and in the area just suck. Let me break it down for you. Why?
Okay, stop. So last summer he moved out of his basement, not basement, the loft that he lived with his parents in Everett, and he went to I honestly had never heard of this place, and I thought he was calling it the Port of Pines, the way he would say it, but it's the
Point of Pines people.
Yeah. Okay, but it's Point of Pines?
Yeah, so Revere, if you go down Revere Beach, right? There's that separation. It's kind of like Lynn and Lynn Field, kind of. But yeah, down the other end of the Revere Beach is the nice part called Point of Pines.
Hey, all right.
That's right, Point of Pines people.
Okay, so that it is point. I didn't until that moment. I thought it was Port of Pines
because Point of Pines people.
Yes. Okay. Until that moment, I thought it was Port because he always says Port when he talks about it. So you say there's like a divide there. It's
like the
wrong side of the Mike's roast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's right. Point of Pines people. People in this neighborhood and in the area just suck. Hey, let me break it down for you. Why? We moved in here last July from Everett to Point of Pines. We've been here for almost 9 to 10 months, and everyone in the area, except our neighbor Carol, she's cool, but everyone else, who are you? Where do you live? Ugh. It's like, first of all, I've been living here for almost a year, dick. Don't be rude to me or my family just because we're new faces and you think we're outsiders. Like, there's no need for that BS. This is, like, so snobby, uptight, and just, like, protective of their private beach. Like, do you park here? I'm like, yeah, I live. Okay, shut up. Whatever. I don't care.
I'm just wondering, if you happen to move from out of town into Everett, what kind of reception you would get?
Those Point of Pines snobs.
Dick.
What they're known for over in Point of Pines.
I was thinking, Bird sees someone strange in his neighborhood. He's not going to go over and question the guy when he was living in Everett.
I love the story,
that's too.
That's true. Yeah. Guys, hey,
seriously.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, dick. It's like, that's his whole story. Like, I thought he was going to have this build up to, like, some massive conflict. And it was like, guys, like, what are you doing here? Yeah, I'm here. I live here. Okay, fine. Dick. And I'm like, okay, that's the entire story.
Yep.
It's like a haiku. Like, also, it was like, man does not like me. I say that I live here a while. Okay, cool. You're a dick.
People in this neighborhood and in the area just suck.
Oh, but you know what? Listen, it all ends with finding out who the slam and slew banger is.
Dick.
Dan, yeah, no. Dan, let's hear the slam and slew banger of the week, shall we?
Our slam and slew banger of the week is Kayla Harrity. She is a Massachusetts girl from, I believe, the Worcester area. I've worked with her on Dirty Water TV years back. I'm talking maybe 9, 10 years ago.
Stop. Set your sights high there, Bird.
It's actually Kayla Harrison, but that's fine.
So did he get her name wrong?
Yeah, I think he did. She's a UFC girl from Danvers.
All right.
But he never once mentions that. Never once. But here's what he does mention.
Our slam and slew banger of the week is Kayla Harrity. She is a Massachusetts girl from, I believe, the Worcester area.
Oh, wrong
girl. I've worked with her on Dirty Water TV years back. I'm talking maybe 9, 10 years ago. She was in The Assault on a Lifetime Network show. She was the lead cheerleader in that TV drama. She was on Wahlburgers herself on the A&E show. She's in, oh, she's in a few commercials too.
Okay, stop. So he's just like reading her IMDb.
Yeah. So he, when we talked about it, he told me it was a girl named Kayla Harrison. Nope, it's a girl named Kayla Harrity. It's a real girl.
Of all the random creepy things to do, he's like somebody he worked with, who's not even like a star. And my slew bang is Janet from accounting. I see her every day. Kind of walk by. I don't really say anything. She's near the copy machine. But ooh, those gams.
On a Lifetime Network show, she was the lead cheerleader in that TV drama. She was on Wahlberg as a self on the AD show. She's in, oh, she's in a few commercials too. Ocean Spray. All right.
Okay, stop. I mean, as I said, just going to the top of the A-list. But I want you to hear something here, okay? Bird, I don't know what happens, whether he goes into fantasy land and starts fantasizing about her, but I just want you to know right here, I did no editing. All right, Dan, I want you to let this play as is, because I did no editing. I want you to take a listen to this, all right? Okay, let it roll.
Ocean Spray, all right. And Nutella. Ooh, she must get a lot of free Nutella. That's a white girl's wet dream right there. Oh, man. Hopefully she's still getting some Nutella. That's awesome. And that's it. And I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to the Anywho podcast with Berg.
That was 11 seconds of him having an on-air brain fart.
That and that's just, it.
He went to a different universe. I don't know if he was fantasizing about her, the Nutella, or just like, that's what happens to Bird. His brain explodes.
And that's it.
For 11 seconds of just nothing. Y'all, that's it.
No music at the start. Hey, it's Bird. It's my podcast. And he ends it with an 11 seconds of silence. Oh, that's it.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
That's it. Hang on. Go back. I'm sorry. I got to do this one. I mean, just listen. Like, what is he doing? I'm trying to even, like, try to figure out by listening. Go back to the beginning of the Ocean Spray. I do this one more time.
She was on Wahlberg as a self on the AD show. She's in a few commercials too. Ocean Spray. All right. And Nutella. Ooh, she must get a lot of free Nutella. That's a white girl's wet dream right there. Oh, man. Hopefully she's still getting some Nutella. That's awesome. And that's it. And I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to the Anywho podcast with Bird.
Joe, you got to work with him some more, Joe. You gotta step in here, I think.
Maybe you should have waited to figure out whether you wanted to tell us he helped us with his podcast until after you heard what he did.
And that's it.
That was the polished version, Rich. That was after he got the advice.
Well, thank goodness he's back. I swear to God, it's the most entertaining podcast ever. I love Bird. You know me. I love that kid. I'll listen to every single
And that's it.
Yeah. So, Bird, if you're listening, tweet out the things we're going to retweet. Come on. Get that out there. And maybe check the head. See what's make sure everything's okay. All right.
Oh, no.
617-779-0985. If you would like to review Bird's new podcast, we'll finally take your calls. Here is Joe Murray with the headlines.
And that's it.
A Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and the Stack, sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. We mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but there is a Jeff Passan came out with something. Apparently, the players came back with a counterproposal to the FU proposal that the owners sent to the players that got them all pissed off. So, according to Jeff, he said that there was this pretty nutty thing they threw back at him. First of all, instead of the 82-game season that the owners had proposed,
The players won a 114-game season. That's obviously because they want to get paid for each one of those games under the agreement, which under the union's proposal would run from June 30th to October 31st.
I hope the playoffs are played in the South.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's. I mean, October, I mean, listen.
The playoffs start November 1st?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
I hope you're going to a dome stadium or somewhere other than Boston, New York, or the Northeast.
God, they just can't get out of their own way. So apparently the union also says that they want to get their fully prorated salaries. I don't have a problem with that. At 114 games, I do. On top of that, they propose payment deferrals to next year if the playoffs are canceled, and only if the playoffs are canceled. They also believe that any high-risk players, such as those who have a pre-existing condition or family members who are more susceptible to the COVID-19, should be able to opt out of the season without risk of losing their salary. I agree with that. Like, that's something that you shouldn't be punished if you're one of these people who is high risk. That part I get. Players, as long as they're at the same level of all the other players. Players not deemed high risk would be able to opt out, but they would not receive their salary, according to the thing that the players put out there. And then it got a little weird. Other things that they threw out there, expanded playoffs for 2 years. I guess this is a way to try to get them their money back, the owners that they're complaining about. They suggest 1 year of a postseason that goes from 10 teams to 14, bringing in more money in their mind. A salary advance of $100 million to split amongst players during the so-called spring training 2.0 that leads up to the regular season. I don't know why that's in there. But now here's where it gets fun. Additional commitment to players wearing microphones on the field and other broadcast enhancements. So what the players are saying is that, hey, we figured out ways for you guys to make money. Why don't you mic us up and sponsor it? And to that I say, hell yeah, I'm all in on that. You mic up every player on the field? I love it. And then you know what? Mic up the umps. That I'd almost like that more than the players themselves. I want to hear the umps and what jackasses they are to the players. And when people complain, I want a mic. And I know that sometimes they do air some of it. I want it on constantly. I want to be able to hear everything. And I want there to be feeds and windows I can click on my computer if I want to specifically pinpoint which player or umpire I want to listen to. Now you're talking. And that could be a moneymaker, too. I got no problem with that.
But do you really think that's going to put a dent in what the owners are calling a catastrophic loss? They're talking about losing billions of dollars, and they can afford to do it, but they're going to look at that proposal and go, no.
Well,
there's
no way in hell
they're going to accept any of this.
Well, they're not going to agree to the games. I mean, that's obviously ridiculous thing.
You're asking us to pay you more money when we already told you we're going to institute sweeping massive salary cuts to everybody? I don't think that's going to happen either. And the players handed this proposal to the owners knowing that they were going to reject it quickly, much like the owners handed their last proposal to the players, except expecting the same thing.
Guys, I have this theory that I think every sport is afraid to be the first sport back. I think they're all afraid. They don't want to be the first. It sounds like basketball, 2 months. We really have to wait 2 months for this thing to start.
That makes sense. That makes sense because they haven't even gotten an agreement yet with Disney, and it's not because they're dragging their feet. I think technically, dude, that's massive.
You got to figure out how to quarantine everybody. You got to get your safety protocols.
July 31st doesn't seem that crazy anymore. Yep. Now it seems like, all right, I wonder if that's going to be too early. I mean, July 31st right now, because if they were to just all of a sudden start basketball, like that would be a little weird right now.
Yeah.
I think they need that time in order to train, get ready, quarantine, and to get all the technical stuff.
I agree. Dana White said this weekend that the reason why sports isn't back yet is because there's so much financial liability, so much everything. Like you mentioned the basketball, they have to actually get Orlando to sign off and everything. They have to pay for all that. He thinks that's the reason why sports isn't back. It would be back already, but there's so much logistics in it that they can't figure it out. Right now, they can't.
I agree. I mean, he's right. And because his operation is a lot smaller, you need an octagon, you need a city that agrees to it, and you need a bunch of fighters who are willing to agree to the rules that he's put down, the testing and everything like that. And you know, on any given UFC match, how many fighters do you have? It's like
Let's call
20.
It 12 in a corner. Yeah, 20 in a corner, you know?
Yeah. So that's a lot easier than having an entire league and their broadcasters and their coaches and their assistant coaches and their trainers to get all to get to one spot. And then on top of that, have it all, I guess, to the approval of, I don't know, an appearance that things are safe. Mm. So it's I know why it's taking this long, and I don't believe Major League Baseball doesn't want to be first. I believe they're being jackasses, and I believe both sides are being a-holes. I think the owners are being bigger a-holes than the players are, but at the same time, you send them back something like this, and it seems absurd.
And now, you know what? I think people are starting not to care. I mean, people were choosing sides earlier, and I don't think people care anymore. Either you play or you don't play. Make up your mind. And as we also said before, there's a window here. You got to get this deal done if you want to start by July 4th. And if you don't start by July 4th, you become irrelevant. You know, that's the problem.
There's part of me that, you know, the owners really have all the leverage here. Because they can afford to sit out and not have a season. As a matter of fact, Buster Olney this weekend said that there is a fairly vocal group of owners who are perfectly willing to shut it down. Because that would mean they could slash payroll costs, the financial losses that they've already, you know, got for this season. You know, they could. These are things that, you know, they'll take a little bit of a hit. But they might take more of a hit if they agree to some of the stuff that these players want. So I think that a lot of these guys, and that's the reason why they're basically sending FU memos to these players. I don't think it's fair, but they could just sit out and do it. And to be quite honest, if I'm an owner, John, and it's taken, and I know that the season's not going to start until right around basketball starts, maybe I just call off the season.
But
because no one's going to care about you while there is playoff basketball, playoff hockey, and then sooner or later, the NFL.
And college football.
A month and a half into your season. Yep. And college football, you are going to be fifth. You're going to be fifth on the list at that point.
If you decide to hit the nuclear button and blow up the season, you are doing irreparable damage to your fan base because it's going to be worse in December of 2021 when the collective bargaining agreement expires. And I don't know how many people are going to care when you bring everyone back. Hey, baseball's back. It's March. It's spring training. Baseball fans have always come back, but there's a lot more to watch. And coming out of a pandemic, people have found a lot of other things to do with their time that are going to carry over. I honest to God think if Major League Baseball owners decide that they are going to blow up the season, and you're right, they can certainly afford to do it, it's going to get worse next December, and once again, it'll be millionaires and billionaires fighting over money when a lot of people can't make ends meet. And considering the other options to watch, I mean, baseball is going to go right down the toilet. It's really a shame. They have the future in their hands here in the next couple of weeks. And it would really be a shame for them to blow it because I'm a baseball fan. And I would be very sad if that's what happened to this sport.
Well, to be quite honest, I've thought that baseball's been broken for a while. I just, if they had to blow it up and try to start all over again, I wouldn't have too much of a problem with it, to be quite honest. Maybe put a salary cap on that sucker and make it fair. I think any sport that doesn't have a salary cap is stupid. But either way, one thing that isn't stupid are free samples at Costco. It looks like that's the one thing that has not died. According to reports, Costco's bringing them some bitches back.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I used to go to Costco.
No, that was just a sick transition. Go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was like, that's
bad as hell.
That's impressive. All right, go.
I'm the king of that stuff. I swore.
Go.
Listen, there was this big report from the Costco king. I think that's actually his name. Yes. And the title. And with reporters, because we're going to start doing some things in mid-June on a slow rollout basis and sampling. By the way, Costco's got nothing to worry about. They're making $1 billion during this pandemic. Like, why are they, like they don't need to do anything. He says, I can't tell you anymore. He's making a big market tease. I can't tell you anymore. But needless to say, it's not going to be where you just go and pick up an open sample with your fingers. And then his eyebrows, I'm sure, went up like this. He said, but sampling, food and non-food items, are popular and will return. So what do you do, like shoot it into their mouth? It's going to be like a food cannon? Like, how are you going to do that if they just don't go up and grab it? I'm not quite sure how they're going to work that, but he has piqued my interest. Yes, King Costco. On a slow rollout basis, ooh, I do feel a bit peckish. Speak to me, O King. You are my king. Oh, it's been a long damn morning.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.